topic today, Tefilas Kelim. Now, sometimes people may not even know what Tefilas Kelim is. Oftentimes, people have a sort of vague sense, but they get confused between tovling and kashering. These are completely separate topics. So what is Tefilas Kelim? Tefilas Kelim is the following halacha, that if you buy a food utensil made from certain materials, which we'll discuss, from a non-Jew, or if it was at some point owned by a non-Jew, produced by a non-Jew, it requires dunking in a mikveh. This is not a real mikveh. It's just for example purposes. You simply dunk it in, and then you're ready to go. Now you have fulfilled a mitzvah d'oraisa, according to most poskim. A mitzvah d'oraisa. This is not some like made-up chumrah that most people disagree with. If you're modern Orthodox, you're not supposed to do it. Okay, this is a real halacha. Nobody disagrees with this. This is agreed upon by everybody. Okay, Tevilas Kelim, you are mechuyev midaraisa to dunk your food utensils, which were at some previous point owned by non-Jews. This is different than kashering. Kashering is if it was used with non-kosher food, and now you want to use it with kosher food. It was used with meat and milk, and now you want to use it, you know, within your kosher kitchen. Tevilas Kelim applies even if it's brand new. It's never been used before. You have a chiyuv to dunk it in the mikvah. Not only do you have a chiyuv to dunk it in the mikvah, it's also midrabbanan to use it if it has not been dunked in the mikvah. Why? The reason is because when you go ahead and use it without dunking in the mikvah, so that is an active demonstration of your disregard for the mitzvah. Right? So therefore, this is a serious thing. You can't use it until you dunk it. So you have to dunk. So far, so good? Okay. Now, when dunking, every part of the kli needs to have water around it. So if you're holding on tightly and you just dip it in and take it out, so then the water didn't go where your hands are. So this is an issue. You can hold it loosely. You can hold it over here and then switch and hold it over here. If you have water on your hand and you're holding it, so that's mikvah water and it's all connected, so that could be good enough. Some mikvahs come with like this little thingy, like that you can just drop it and then it'll catch it and then you can pick it up. Otherwise, if you just drop it and you miss, then you could go to the bottom and then you're going to have to stick your arm all the way in and you're going to get wet. And
never fun.
I've done that. Not a good idea. Okay, don't let this happen to you. Okay, this is the basics, the very bare-bone basics of Tevilas Kelim. Which materials does this apply to? It applies to metal. I've heard people say that it does not apply to glass. That's not true. It applies to glass. Glass is midrabanan. Metal is deraisa. Glass is midrabanan. But either way, you're chayev to tovel glass dishes. In fact, you make a bracha if you tovel glass dishes or metal dishes. Al tevilas kelim if you're doing multiple kelim, or al tevilas kli if you're doing one kli. And that is it. Yeah.
I heard glass. You don't make a bracha. That's what someone told me. Metal, you do.
I once heard that also, but it's not correct. Make the bracha for glass. If it's something which is a suffix, then you wouldn't make a bracha. But glass is not a suffix. It's a definite chiyuv d'rabbanan. Okay? So you do make, in fact, the bracha for tovling glass. There is a question. Let's say metals, which are, there are like certain specific metals that halacha always talks about and recognizes. What if it's not one of those? So there's a question about that, like aluminum, for example. And therefore, if you're tovling aluminum, so then maybe so it should be tovled without a bracha. Okay, but otherwise, it needs to be tovled with a bracha. Yes?
Even one-use items?
Oh, so what about one-use items? Very good. So, for example, I brought this. This is a metal can. Now, I guarantee you it was produced by non-Jew. It was owned at some point by a non-Jewish company, for sure. And it was never tovled. So when I buy this drink and I drink from the can, aren't I using a kli which is chayv in tevila and which has not had tevila? So there are several. So there are some people, by the way, for this reason, who open the can and pour out the contents, and then drink it from a different kli. A non-tovled kli doesn't make the food not kosher. Food is okay. You're just not allowed to use the kli. I've heard of that, but the standard minhag ha'olam is not like that. We are generally makel. We allow people to drink from the can. Why is that the case? So there are basically two svaras, two main svaras in the poskim to allow it. One is Moshe Feinstein. He claims that if it's a throwaway item, a single use type item, then it doesn't really count as a kli to begin with. It's a chiddush. And it's not entirely clear that everything is like that. This is a single use item. But in theory, it could be used again. It's just that, you know, it's not like so easily usable and it's like cheap and like, you know.
If you do reuse it, then do you have like
right? According to that,
you used to like refill with water sometimes.
Right. So it's a fair question. It's not just one time. He indicates that if it's meant for just one use, or you push it and use it two or three times, it doesn't require tevila. I wonder. According to that, if you keep on reusing it, the type of thing. So maybe an efanami. Maybe let's say a coffee thingy. You buy a coffee. It comes in a glass can usually, glass bottle. So that could be, there's nothing wrong with that. That could be used many times in theory. Maybe you'd have to tumble it according to Moshe. There are other poskim like Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe also mentions the following, a different shuva. We'll give a different svara. They claim, listen, you're not really buying the can. You don't care about the can. You're buying the juice. But juice needs something to move it in, transport it in. So they give you the kli as a throw-in. But it's negligent compared to the contents of the kli, and therefore it doesn't really count. Either because you're not really buying it, or because it doesn't make a difference, it's negligible. And then if you decide to reuse it, so your change of mind is what made this kli. And therefore you can even reuse it without tumbling. That's what Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So that is interesting svara, very fascinating, and that probably explains the minigolem. Lemaisa, people are generally knowing to use it, and I don't think that we should feel bad about that. You can rely on these. You can rely on these iterium. Yeah.
What about like aluminum foil pans?
So aluminum foil is one thing that's very temporary. But aluminum tin pans, on the other hand, that could theoretically be used over and over again.
Use like a lot of people save their aluminum foil pans.
Yeah, I know, that's a fair question. I've seen. I saw on a couple of websites of cautious organizations that they recommend tolling them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen anyone do that. I don't know. Here in Israel, I think they're produced by Jewish companies in Israel, I think. Anyway, Lemaisa, we never told our parents that the minigol was never to do that, but maybe the chuzars would be different, I'm not sure. I don't know. Fair question. Okay, there are other materials. There are other materials. So let's say plastic, for example. So there are some poskim who want to tell you that you have to tovel plastic, but however, most poskim hold that that's not the case. You don't need to tovel plastic. That is the general minig. Plastic is fine. You don't need to tovel it. Wood, including these very, very fancy, popular cups, they are plastic and do not require tevila. Cups, I just said
wood.
Wood, rubber, they also do not require tevila. Cheres is earthenware, also does not require tevila. What gets complicated is trying to figure out what's made out of what. So like some of the modern materials, Karel apparently is basically glass. It's a glass base that they then do stuff to. So that would require tevila. So I'll give you in a second. Something like this. This is porcelain. It's basically cheres, it's earthenware, but then it's glazed. And the glaze is a type of glass, apparently. So that is a debate amongst the poskim. Does that glass coating make the kli now require tevila? Some people do it, some people don't do it. You can ask whoever you ask your shaylas to. Fine china is the same thing, although the coating apparently is even thinner. So therefore, there's more of a tzad to say you don't have to. Cheap stuff like this, you can even see, by the way, that it's chipped and you can it's like really cheres underneath. So that apparently the coating is not really glass to begin with, so that you don't require tevila. Personally, Rav Miller, who I asked when we got married and we got dishes and all that kind of stuff, so he said to tovel without a bracha, or if you have a metal cleat to make the bracha on that first. So that's what we did. My brother-in-law I know asked Rav Willig. He said you don't need to tovel it, so they didn't tovel theirs. Okay, they're different, minhagim in that respect. How about this? I heard of a store. There's some sort of a store in Brooklyn where they have a kelim mikveh in the store. It's a great cop. You buy the stuff and you dunk it right there. So, okay, that could be convenient. What if the store owner wants to make your life easier and dunk it for you and before he even sell it to you? So that's not so posh. Why not? We say that clay se'uda required tevila. That means, Kalim, that you're going to use with food. As opposed to clay schora, a clay that you're using for business to sell. So this store owner is not using the clay. He's just selling the clay. Right? So he's not chayiv in tevilas kalim. And since he's not chayiv in tevilas kalim, it may not work if he does tevilas kalim. Okay, so this is not a viable solution, although it's a good try. Now, when we say, did we discuss this? Did we discuss canopers? We did already discuss canopers.
No.
The restaurant owners, it's clay suda because you're eating it for your suda. So the restaurant
is.
If they're selling the kalim, they don't need to do it. If they're selling the food and making the food with their kalim, then they do need to do tevilas kalim. Okay? What about something like this? When we say that food utensils require tevila, we mean utensils that are meant to be used directly with the food. Okay, something like a can opener, it's meant to be used on the can, not on the food. It's true, it may touch a little bit the food when you do it incidentally. It may touch incidentally. But that's not what it's for. That's not what you're even intending to use it for. So a can opener and the like do not require tevila. This is something which is very relevant to other cases as well. So for example, a blech. You don't usually put food straight on the blech. You put it in a pot on the blech. A blech does not require tevila. An oven. You don't need to dip your whole oven in the mikveh. That would be a little bit impractical anyway. Right? So if you have, let's say, a little toaster oven with racks, the racks kind of, you know, that you take the racks. So you put the food on the racks. The racks you tovel. The whole toaster oven you don't need to tovel, right? The food, we talked about ovens. So you're racking your oven. It depends. If you put the food on the rack or on a little sheet of something, a tinfoil or wax paper on the rack, then the rack should be taken out and toggled. If not, you just put it in regular, in like pots in the oven, so then, or something like that, or real pans, so then you don't need to do so. Okay, so then it'll depend on usage. A barbecue, you put the food on the rack. The rack should be toggled before you use the barbecue. The rest of the barbecue doesn't touch the food, right? So then it does not require tevila. Yeah?
Like toasters for slices of bread.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that. So by way of introduction, okay, when we say...
I've seen it done in this...
All right. When we say that food utensil requires tevila, that refers to a utensil that's used with the food when it's consumed, or a utensil that's used to help make the food edible. A utensil that is used only when the food is not edible, like for example, a cookie cutter, or something that you store, raw flour in, or something like that. You know,
a sifter.
That's an interesting one. Well, sifter's not made from metal anyway, they're plastic. But these types of vitamins do not require tevila. Now, we'll have to discuss electric appliances in a moment separately, but let's just say for a second that we were to assume that electric appliances are chayiv in tevila. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush by toaster ovens. He tying is, listen, you don't serve it on your toaster oven. And it's not making it edible. It's edible already. It's just that you might like the piece of bread to be a little harder and hotter. So then you put it in the toaster oven. So he wanted to tie that that's not called the clay suda. You don't need to tie. You don't need to tovel it. So you do have a Moshe Feinstein over there saying that you're potter. Of course, there are others who say that you're obligated, that you're chayiv. And then we get to the discussion of electric appliances. I brought a sandwich maker for this purpose. Now you have here, it's metal. And it touches the food directly. That's why you have remnants of Ashi's sandwich from earlier, from lunchtime today, on this thingy. And invariably, it says somewhere on it, do not immerse in water. Okay, so now what do you do? So, you take off the label and you dunk it in, though. So, there are different opinions amongst the poskim. There are poskim who are makil when it comes to some of these appliances. Why? there's one view in the Poskim, a minority view, claims that if you can't dunk it, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply. The mitzvah only applies to things that you can dunk. That's an interesting possibility. Some make the very interesting claim that it only works when you plug it in. And when it's plugged in, it's mechuber lekarka. It's attached to the ground. It's attached to your house. House is karka. And something which is attached to the ground, anything which is mechuber lekarka, does not require tevila. That's a real halacha. So therefore, it would not require tevila. That is a view in the postgame that doesn't work for everything. Like, for example, this does not really get plugged in. It attaches to something else, which gets plugged in. And this is usable when it's not plugged in also. So that definitely would not get you out of this problem of the kumkum, but it could work for a sandwich maker. Other poskim don't like the kulas. As far as they're concerned, you got two options. Three options. Option number one, don't buy it. Okay, we don't like that. Option number two, you can have it disassembled and reassembled by a Jew. Then, you basically, the kuli doesn't exist anymore because he disassembled it, so it's not usable. Not like you not like I could disassemble, like a real person, a real pro. And then he made the kli, so it's made by a Jew. That's great. I once had an electrician over for something, a Jewish electrician, for something else. And I asked him if he could, like, you know, maybe take apart one of my thingies and put it back together. He, like, was like, what a stupid thing to do. I'm like, no, because, you know, it was a Caleb issue, and, you know, he's like, you're an idiot. And he's like, left. He was not interested. You have to get someone who's willing to work with you if you want to go that route. The other option is just to dunk it and hope for the best. So, I did this with a couple of things, and it worked okay, but so-so, not so well. So then after that, I was relying on the plugging in thing. I had a sandwich maker, I was relying on the plugging in thing. And then I said, you know what, I don't want to rely on this anymore. So I bought a new sandwich maker, this one, in the spring, this year. And I just dunked it. And then you let it dry for a couple of days, and you plug it in, and Baruch Hashem, it's working fine. So that's it gives chizuk to those who want to go for the dunkage. It does work.
Some sandwich makers come with their removable
stuff.
Yeah. All right, Gevaldik, if it's removable, you can just take out the part that I didn't get such a fancy one. I actually tried that. I unscrewed it, but it's all connected to the wires. It's not shy. So I just dunked it, and it worked. Do not plug it in right after you dunk it. That should not be done. You wait for a while until it dries out, and then you plug it in. And Baruch Hashem, it was good. I've heard other people have had positive experiences as well. So that's good. And it may not work for everything. If you have something with like a digital type of computerized, you know, something, then I'm not such a fancy guy. This is just a regular sandwich maker. So that is that worked. What I did for this is I had a great chap. I went to the store here in the Merkaz. I said, do you have a kumkum that's totseret ha'aretz? That it's produced here in Israel. She said, yeah, I got one. People like it because they don't have to total it. And also it's pretty good. So that's what he timed. So I bought that one. Now you have to be careful. Israeli companies oftentimes have products that are produced in China. That means it was produced by a Chinese company and then they just sell it to the Israeli company and they put their logo on it. So that would require tevila. If it's produced in Israel by a Jewish-owned company, I mean, if it's produced anywhere by a Jewish-owned company, then it does not require tevila, assuming it was not owned by non-Jews at any point along the way. So usually in Chutz La'aretz, it will be owned by non-Jews at some point along the way. However, in Israel, if it's produced by an Israeli company and sold to the store here, and then they sell it to you, presumably it was not owned by any non-Jews along the way, and then you do not require tevila. Yeah.
There are some times here I've seen here that there are pots and pans in the supermarket that have a hashgacha on.
Yeah, they have a hashgacha. I don't know. I was wondering about that myself. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I assume so, but I'm not 100% sure. I have not looked into it.
Yeah, they're trying to do that.
There's some people who are like a little bit meshuggah. They think that any kli, the stuff they use in making the kli, which is maybe not kosher and this and that. So I was wondering if the hashgacha was for that. But it could be for the tefillah issue. All the tin pans you'll buy in the supermarket here have the hashgacha on them. So if you eat them, you're okay. Yeah.
Yeah, if it was for the tefillah issue, then totaling it wouldn't work anyways, like you said before.
No, but if that's what it is, then it would mean that it was produced by a Jewish company.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The other question is, I've heard a lot of people say before that if you're somewhere and you're using something for the first time and you have no way to toll it, you're allowed to use it once.
So let's understand that better. Okay, if you buy something, let's say I buy a new fork and I take it home, and the kelim mikvah is closed, so I don't really chop why I'd be allowed to use it. I don't think so. However, what if you're a guest in somebody's house? So we said you're not allowed to use a kli that hasn't been toggled. Well, you know what? Not everybody is makpid on this mitzvah, unfortunately. So let's say I go to somebody's house. You go to somebody's house, and they haven't toggled their kelim. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I saw the name of one posting, it may have been Ramosha, who says, Enochanami, you can't use them. But Soloveitchik is quoted as saying that that's not the case. Why not? The reason is because the issur to use the kli is because it demonstrates that you don't care about the mitzvah. But if you're a guest, then that's not your, it's not your kli. The mitzvah is not really on you. The mitzvah is on the person who owns the kli. So since the mitzvah is not on you, it's a tovel it, so then there's no, it doesn't, you're not demonstrating disregard for the mitzvah by using it without toveling it. So there's room to be makil if you're a guest in somebody's house and they haven't toveled their kelim. Obviously in your house that does not apply, meaning in your own home when you're the Baal HaBayis. So you obviously, it would be forbidden for you to use those kelim without toveling them first. Okay, so far so good. We're ending. I didn't really discuss Mishalakum, because I figured we may as well discuss one topic reasonably well, as opposed to two topics not well. But it is something which is on the books that you should be aware that it exists. At least you should know to ask the question. Food which is cooked by a non-Jew is usur for Jews to eat, even if all the ingredients are kosher and it's cooked in a kosher oven. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have non-Jews involved in cooking. A Jew has to do something in the process, whether it means turning on the oven or putting the food into the oven. Even if the non-Jews do everything else, if the Jew has a hand in it, that's good enough. But you do have to make sure that that happens. Okay, this is relevant for restaurants when the workers may not be Jewish. It's relevant for a home where you have a housekeeper or something like that who does some cooking. Okay, in all these situations, Bishul Akum is a real concern. Okay, so you have to know about it at least enough to begin to ask the shayla, or to do obviously it would be best to do further research. Okay, so this is Tevilas Kelim, a little bit of blurb about Bishul Akum. Have a wonderful rest of the day.